This is not how things were made to be. As far as I can see, there is no benefit in passing the blame as if we had no part in it. We are each left to our own devices that trick us into thinking the path we are on is aligned with His will. But when we start to peel the scales from our eyes, we realize the depth of the situation, the death of our sin, and the life we've been given. Unlike death earned by man in chapter 3, life is ushered in by the one who is nailed to a tree. His blood paid a ransom that earned us salvation and pulled us out of our damnation. We fix our eyes on the divine, disregarding all earthly things, knowing that what we see is no more than temporary. As we lay our old self down for rest, we find there is life to be gained and reclaimed by the one whose light gives no variation. In response to the gift we've been given, we lift our voice in exultation, giving praise where it is due. The King of Kings sits upon his throne, listening to heaven and earth join together and sing along. A song that may not sound pretty, but it's the anthem of redeemed hearts, giving him all the glory that shines so brightly, blinding eyes and piercing hearts, his word cutting like a double-edged sword. His power is matchless, nothing compares to it. Even the land and the sea submit to him. Enemies may try to conquer, but that will never happen. In all their efforts, they will be laid bare on the floor as his footstool, knowing they are among the greatest of fools. Within his pierced hands are the ocean's depths and the peaks of the mountains. Yet there is still no heart it cannot reside in. His love ever flowing and his love never ceasing. Living water drenches us in light of his mercies. He is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the Lion and the Lamb. I can scream until my lungs are empty and my tongue dries up, but those words would still not convey the intensity of his love.
Today the world is becoming darker and darker. Soon the Son of Man shall appear in glory and power, and the nation shall mourn at the sight of his coming. Are you ready for the return of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? As the armies of darkness march towards global domination, many slumber as we approach the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us awake and announce his kingdom.
Blow the trumpet in Zion, sound an alarm on my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. It is near.
You are listening to Radio Redemption.
And power! And power! Power!
For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. 1 Corinthians 4:20.
Hallelujah, praise the Lord Jesus Christ. Glory be to his holy name. You're listening to Radio Redemption and Power. We are a South Florida radio station that preaches the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And tonight we're going to be speaking about Christ, our Redeemer. You're going to be looking at what that means. So stay tuned, get your notepad out, your highlighter, open up your Bible, so you can highlight these wonderful verses that we're going to be touching upon. Remember, you can find us on our webpage, redemptionandpower.com. We also have on there our live radio where you can listen to. So far, we just have music cycling on there and some of our podcasts, but hopefully soon we're going to be having different hosts. They're going to come on there and be putting on the programs there as well, so you can get be fed 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, with content that is going to edify your soul. Also, now we already got our phone line up and running, so a little later, if you need a prayer or want to have a comment in tonight's program, the number to the station is 305-320-7727. That's 305-320-RRAP. Once again, that's 305-320-7727. And we open up the phone lines around 7:40. You could also contact us via email through redemptionandpower@gmail.com. You could also, if you're listening to us on the live radio, you can send us a request right on from the page. You can also visit us on Facebook as well as listen to us on iTunes. Brother Lewis, would you kindly lead us in prayer tonight?
Amen. Father God, tonight we want to thank you, Lord, for everything you have done and continue to do in us and through us, Lord. And tonight we ask you for your listeners, Lord, so they may know the importance to know you also as our Redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Once again, you're listening to Radio Redemption and Power.
Heard people say, Jesus is my Redeemer. But what does that exactly mean? A Redeemer is a person who restores, recovers, and saves something that was lost. In this world we live in, many of us have lost our dignity, goodness, and honor because we have chosen to live sinful, rebellious lifestyles. This has caused important relationships to be severed, such as the relationship between a father and a son. In the same way, men have chosen to walk away from God the Father, and because of this, have become like orphans that are lost without direction or hope. Furthermore, Because of man's actions, some find themselves in bondage with addictions, in jails, and on the street. However, God loves us so much that he sent his only begotten Son to take our place in the punishment that we deserve and to set us free from the powers of the enemy. He came to restore us back to a relationship with him. Matthew 1:21. She is going to have a son. You must give him the name Jesus. That is because he will save his people from their sins. Redemption means that someone has to pay a price for another's freedom. There are several forms of payment that were used to free someone who was in bondage. For example, if a country had a citizen held in captivity in a hostile country, it would be done by what is called an exchange. This means they would give something in their possession in exchange for that person, such as money, property, and at times even another life for their ransom. That's why sometimes we see our government exchange criminals to other countries in order to free the just. Another form of redemption is through our next of kin. This means, for example, that your son was responsible for freeing you from the debt which was owed. However, the price to free us from sin was much greater. It required for someone to give their life, which is called atonement. Leviticus 17:11. For the life of the body is in its blood. I have given you the blood on the altar to purify you, making you right with the Lord. It is the blood given in exchange for a life that makes purification possible. This atonement for sin was done yearly by the Levitical priest in the Old Testament by sacrificing an animal in their place. However, it was not just any animal that was chosen. It had to be the firstborn, without blemish, because the blood of the animal were used. The atonement will only last for 1 year. This was done until God himself became a man and came to pay the price for our freedom. He did this with his precious blood, which is more valuable than money or gold. He paid our ransom forever. Ephesians 1:7. He is so rich in his kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his Son and forgave our sins. Jesus came out of obedience to the Father to pay our price and set us free from the powers and control of Satan. Romans 8:2. And because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the powers of sin that led us to death. Friends, as we can see, our Christ came to earth to set us free from bondage. This was something that cost God his only begotten Son. He died in your place on the cross in Calvary and shed his precious, sinless blood for us. Because of this, we should no longer be walking in sin, but be transformed into his likeness. Our redemption, Christ, allows us to be free to walk with dignity, honor, and respect. What I can't understand is why freed people will want to return back to slavery again. Galatians 5:1. So Christ has truly set us free. Now make sure that you stay free and don't get tied up again in slavery to the law.
If there was another name by which the Bible could be called, I would call it the Book of Redemption. In fact, that's what the Bible is. From the beginning until the end of the Bible, we see God's plan of redemption for humanity unfold from Genesis to Revelation. We see how God takes ordinary men and through them does extraordinary things. For what? So that we can see that we have a God who is near, who cares about us, and is involved in the affairs of men. If there's one verse that I can point to that would summarize the message of the Bible, it would be Colossians 1:20 saying, "And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven." You see, our God is a God of reconciliation. Our God is a God of restoration. And not only does he want to reconcile you to himself, but he also wants to bring reconciliation to your family, to your life. He wants to restore you, restore your body, restore your mind. In fact, the meaning of reconcile is to bring back to a state of harmony, a state of peace. And he does that through redemption. Redemption through the blood of his son, Jesus Christ. And redemption means several things, as you've heard Brother Lewis was just talking a minute ago. He says in the Old Testament, we see that redemption meant being free from slavery. It meant to have your possessions restored to you. It meant to be saved from death or some kind of imminent danger. In fact, in the Old Testament, we see that there was a provision that God had established called the Kinsman Redeemer. We look in Leviticus 25:25. It says, "If thy brother be waxen poor and had sold away some of his possessions, and if any of his kin come to redeem it, then shall he redeem that which is his brother, which his brother sold. And if the man have none to redeem it and himself be able to redeem it, let him count the years of the sale thereof and restore the overplus unto the man to whom he sold it, that he may return unto his possession." You see, in ancient times, if you had a debt that you were unable to pay, you became a slave in order to pay off that debt. We see this echoed in the story of Elijah and the widow's oil in 2 Kings chapter 4. And verse 1 says, "A certain woman of the wives of the sons of prophets cried out to Elisha, saying, 'Your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that your servant feared the Lord, and the creditor is coming to take my two sons to be his slaves.'" And this is exactly what happened to humanity when Adam sinned. When Adam sinned, he introduced sin into the world, and everything he had, his communion, his authority, his open relationship with God was forfeited. Death became his fate, and sin became his master. And the fellowship between God and man had been broken, and we as children of Adam inherited his sin and inherited his debt. And Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." As sinners, we are all born with a debt. And when we reach the age of accountability, which is when we reach an age when we know the difference between right and wrong, the Bible shows us that that debt becomes required of us. Romans 7:8 says, "But sin taking opportunity by the commandment produced in me all manner of evil desire. For apart from the law, sin was dead. I was alive once without the law, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died." And this is important for us to understand because it teaches us that children in their innocence are not considered guilty until they become old enough to understand right from wrong. And this explains why Satan hates children so much. That explains why we see so much evil being done against defenseless children. So much that he's launched a campaign to steal the innocence from children at younger and younger ages. And we as Christians are called to protect children and to allow them to come to Jesus. But we are born into debt. And once we reach accountability, payment becomes due. It's like a credit card whose grace period is over. And now payment becomes due. But instead of making payments, we only continue to add on to the debt. It is a hole too deep to climb out of. And instead of climbing out, we only dig ourselves deeper. Such is the debt we have with God. We all must pay with death. And I cannot pay for yours and you cannot pay for mine, because one who has sin cannot be a payment for sin. Therefore, we must all pay for our own sin, and not only with our physical death, but with eternal death in hell. God told Adam that he would die if he ate from the fruit, which Brother Paul and Linda mentioned in the program. The King James Version says that when God told them about the fruit, he says, "The day you eat of the fruit, surely you will die." But we see that the Hebrew says, "You shall die, signifying the first and second death that our humans are bound to, a fate of which no one can get out of because the debt is too great. But the scripture says in Ephesians 2:4, "But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. God, in his mercy and love, sent his Son to redeem us. He did so by becoming a man. Because remember, in Leviticus 25, we read that it had to be a relative to be the one to pay for the debt. Therefore, since it was a man, Adam, that caused us to be born into the slavery of sin, Christ had to become a man so that he can pay the debt of Adam and all of us. And not just any man, but as Brother Lewis mentioned, a sinless man. And when we understand this, many other things start to become clear. Like, why was it necessary for Christ to be born of a virgin? Because he did not inherit the sin of Adam. He is sinless. And after living without sin, he became guilty in our place. He received the death penalty. He was tortured and his blood was shed as payment. Because according to Hebrews 9:22, the scripture says, "And according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission." And it was Christ who was the innocent blood. And because he shed his blood, we now have remission. And the word remission in the Greek means to be released. To be released from the debt and penalty of our sin. Hebrews 2:9 says, "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man." In the eyes of the Father, Christ's death was the death for every man. And that doesn't mean that everyone is saved. Because in order to receive this payment on your behalf, you must place your faith upon Christ. You must trust upon what he did for you. Romans 3:21 says, "But now the righteousness of God, apart from the law, is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ, to all and on all who believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness. Because in his forbearance, God had passed over the sins that were previously committed to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be the just and the justifier," and here's the key, "of those who has faith in Jesus." In order to be a partaker, in order to receive the payment of your debt, you must exercise your faith upon Jesus. You must believe that he is who the Bible says he is, and that your debt before God is canceled by what he did for us at the cross. Not only does he take away the debt, but according to the Greek word translated remission, redemption is not just payment of debt, but it's also the loosing from bondage, as also Brother Lewis had mentioned. Romans 6:6 says, "Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin, for he that is dead is freed from sin." Brothers and sisters, us who Christ has redeemed have the power to say no to sin. We have the power not to sin, because if we have been redeemed by Christ, then sin no longer rules in us. But the problem is our minds. When we get saved, our spirit becomes transformed. We are born again, but our minds need to be transformed. And many of us continue to go on thinking the same way as we always think. But no, we must renew our minds with the truth and the Word of God. Scripture says, Romans 6:11, "Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof." What is also amazing about what Christ did for us is that not only did he pay for our debt, not only did he break the power of sin in our lives, but according to that Greek word that's translated remission, where the Bible says that without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. That word remission also means that not only has the debt been taken away, not only has the bondage been broken, but it's like in the eyes of God, sin was never committed in the first place. And this is very important. Look at what Peter says in Acts chapter 3:18 when he's preaching to the Jews. He says, "But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of his prophets, that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of the refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." He says that your sins be blotted out. And that Greek word translated blotted means to anoint or wash in every part, to besmear, to cover, to whitewash, to wipe off, to wipe away. And I really love this part here: to obliterate, erase, wipe out, blot out. That is why the gospel is such good news. Because Christ frees us from the penalty of sin. He frees us from the bondage of sin. And he frees us from the consequence of sin. Why? Because it's like it never happened, according to what the Bible says. That's why we see when he walked on the earth, the Bible says that he healed. Why? Because sickness is a consequence of sin. Not necessarily because you may have done something to deserve it, but because when sin entered into the world, sickness entered with it. Look what Matthew 8:16 says. "When the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses." Now, I used to believe that when the Bible says by his stripes we are healed, that it meant the disease of sin. But we see here in Matthew also applies it to sicknesses of the body. Why? Because Christ came to reconcile. Christ came to restore. Christ came to redeem. And that part of that is also our bodies. Christ as a redeemer also brings us healing. Healing to our minds. Healing to our bodies. And he restores us and fellowship with God. Jesus Christ is our Redeemer. Glory be to the Lord.
If you could know how many times I've watched you weeping, and I've wept the same. How I've ached, so filled with longing to gather you. Without home and forsaken, but I've made a way for you to be mine.
things, Pastor Javer, that came to my mind when I was doing research on this topic was Abraham. And I could just think in my mind, when God told him that he had to go and sacrifice his son, Isaac, you know, the amount of love that he had towards his son, his only, you know, begotten son. And yet he obeyed God to take him to the mountain and offer him as a sacrifice. Then we see how God provided the lamb for him and he was spared. But moving forward in time, God gave his only begotten son. And he went all the way as a sacrifice for us, taking insults, beatings, things which we deserve for punishment for what we have done, not only against him, but against others. And one of the things that I was thinking is how much love God has for us. Because if we really think about it, it's very hard to give up your son, especially for someone other than yourself. And Jesus came to die for sinners, for you and for me.
Amen. And one of the amazing things that, Brother Lewis, that just really, it's just so amazing about who God is that he has the ability to forget about our sins. He has the ability to make himself forget. And he says in Isaiah 43:25, I am he that blotteth out thy transgression for my own sake and will not remember thy sins. And it's so amazing because, for example, here in the United States, I don't know too much about this, but I've spoken to people that have had to deal with this. When you have something on your record here, you can never really completely get that taken out. You usually, and I think it applies to maybe certain types of infractions, you can either get your record expunged or sealed, which means that it can only be seen under certain circumstances by certain agencies or something like that. But it's never really erased. But the amazing thing about what God says here is that when he forgets your sins, he forgets them. He never brings them back in remembrance. And that is so amazing because there's so many people that are living, that they know they've trusted in Christ, yet the devil keeps throwing those lies to them that they can't move forward because of the things of the past. But God says, I will remember your sins no more. Because in Christ was the full debt. It's amazing the power that the blood of Christ has. That it was sufficient to cleanse the filthiness of the sin of humanity. That shows us how holy Christ is, how pure and precious is his blood. And that's why we Christians, we sing about the blood of Jesus. And we say, you know, and we pronounce the blood of Jesus in our homes. We pronounce it over our cars. We pronounce it over our family members because we understand the power that is on that blood. The Bible says that the blood of Jesus speaks better things than Abel. Well, the Bible tells us when Abel's blood was shed, the Bible said that his blood cried out to the ground to the Lord. But how much greater does the blood of Jesus cry out for us? We have to do it with faith, and it takes faith. Why? Because there's times where circumstances, they continue the same. There may be people that are listening tonight that are locked up behind bars, and they're telling me, oh, Javier, how is it possible? I've repented. I'm still paying for the consequence of the sin. But you know what? Christ has the power to change that. And if your heart's been changed, not only is the penalty paid, but your circumstance can change. But you must believe. You must trust. You must every day put your trust upon Christ. And the Bible says that those who trust upon him shall not be ashamed. And that's why it's so important when the Bible says that we have to have a faith like a child. Because we, as often when we read in the Bible where it says that we are walking in the flesh, we often interpret that as we're walking in some kind of sinful desire. But it's not necessarily like that. When the Bible speaks about walking in the flesh, it mostly references to walking under human reasoning as opposed to walking by faith. Why? Because when you're walking and you're looking according to human reasoning, you're making and basing your decisions by what you are seeing and you are experiencing in your flesh. But the scripture tells us that we ought to walk by faith. And the way we walk by faith, the Bible says that faith cometh by hearing and by hearing the word of God. We must not listen to those toxic thoughts, to those things that tell us that the circumstances won't change, but to always listen to to what the Word of God has to say to us, and that is that Jesus Christ is the transformation. The Bible tells us that He is our sanctification. He is our wisdom, our sanctification, our redemption. In Him are we made whole. In Him do the circumstances change. There was no place where Jesus walked and that when He left that place, there wasn't any transformation. And we need to expect the same thing in our lives. If Jesus has come to our lives, believe it, brother and sister, things are going to change.
And if we want something to change in our lives, you know, we pretty much have to do it like the same way a lot of us do it in court, that we say we plead the 10th Amendment. Well, as Christians, we plead the blood of Jesus and we also use something else, which is we apply. We apply the blood of Jesus as it was applied over the doorpost, over our situations. Whatever your situation may be, you apply the blood of Jesus onto that situation, and that problem would move out of your way. In Jesus' name.
Heavenly Father, blessed be your holy, holy name. Lord Jesus, we come before you tonight, Father, having faith, Lord, in what you did for us at the cross, Lord. And Father, tonight we want to pray for those that are listening, Lord, for those that have placed their faith upon you, Lord. Father, right now we come before you and we pray for restoration upon their lives. Restoration between the families, Lord. Restoration in marriages, Father. Restoration between fathers and sons and daughters and mothers, Father God. Right now, Lord Jesus, we ask that restoration
restoration, Father, that redemption that you pay for on the cross will extend as well to our bodies, Lord, that tonight through the power of your Holy Spirit, Father, you will make us whole. Make us whole, Lord. Make us whole. Those that are listening, Lord, from hospitals, Father, that they will get up right now in the name of Jesus. That those that are listening from a bedside because they're sick, that right now life and power will enter into their bodies through the healing power of your blood, and that they will rise up and sing glory to your name, Father. Lord, we pray for those, Father God, who are in prisons, Lord. I pray, Father God, that you, Lord, will, Father, open up an opportunity for them to get out of there, Father God, and to serve you, Lord, and however you please, Father. Lord, we pray for those that are suffering with depression, with those that have bitterness on their hearts. We pray that your love and power will right now come upon them, Lord, and that all those things will melt away, Father, and that the love of Christ be shed in their hearts, Lord God. Father, we pray for your restoration tonight, Father. We pray for your healing upon your people tonight. Father, we ask right now in the name of Jesus, if there's anybody, Lord, that is being tormented by a demon or devil, right now we cast it out in the name of Jesus Christ, in the name of your Son, because there is power in the blood of Jesus. And we know, Father God, that we are secure in you, and that our lives are hidden in Christ. And Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Once again, we thank you for listening tonight. Remember that you can visit us on our webpage, redemptionandpower.com, where you can listen to our live radio. Like as we mentioned before, soon we're going to be having a lineup of different programs on there, so you can be able to be nourished through the Word of God, through the different programs and content that we're going to be playing. Right now, we have music cycling on there, so if you want to listen to some music while you clean, listen to some music while you're working at home, or just for leisure, you can listen to us through the app of, it's called Tune In Radio, and you look it up on your iPhone, or if you have an Android, and just look for us on there, Radio Redemption and Power. You can also write to us at redemptionandpower@gmail.com, as well as on Facebook, and you can also continue to download our podcast directly from iTunes. We thank you for listening tonight. We pray tonight's broadcast has been a blessing for you as much as it has been for us, and we hope that you would continue to meet with us here live every Sunday at 7 p.m. here on 1080 a.m. And also, we're going to be having a Wednesday night Bible studies if you want to tune in live. We're going to be broadcasting at 8:30, so we'll be opening up the lines as well, so we can have you can participate in the discussion and study of that night. This week, we started studying the book of Colossians, and it's a wonderful book, and we're going to be going through it, and we invite you to join in. And that will be every Wednesday night at 8:30. You can listen to us here at redemptionandpower.com. We pray that the Lord bless you.
Every day the world is becoming darker and darker. Soon the Son of Man shall appear in glory and power. And the nation shall mourn with the sight of his coming. Are you ready for the return of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? As the armies of darkness march towards global domination, many slumber as we approach the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us awake and announce his kingdom.
Blow the trumpet in Zion, sound an alarm on my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. It is near.
You are listening to Radio Redemption.
And power! And power! Power!
For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. 1 Corinthians 4:20.